My message is an appeal to those who are worried, or restless, or anxious, or afraid. A plea to those who are not at peace. If your life is touched with disappointment or grief, with bitterness, if you struggle constantly with worry, or frustration, or shame, I speak to you. The Bible records that in ancient times there came from Gilead beyond the Jordan a substance used to heal and soothe. It came perhaps from a tree or a bush and was a major commodity of trade in the ancient world. It was known as the balm of Gilead. That name became symbolic for a power to soothe and to heal. The lyrics of a song record, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." I recently asked a doctor of family medicine how much of his time was devoted purely to correcting physical disorders. He has a large practice, and after thoughtfully considering, he answered, "Not more than 20%. The rest of the time, I seem to be working on problems that very much affect the physical well-being of my patients, but do not originate in the body. These physical disorders," the doctor concluded, "are merely symptoms of some other kind of trouble." In recent generations, one after another of the major diseases has yielded itself to correction or cure. Some very major ones remain, but we are now able to do something substantial about most of them. There is another part of us, not so tangible, but quite as real as our physical body. This intangible part of us is described as mind, as emotion, as intellect, as temperament, as many other things. Very seldom is it described as spiritual. But there is a spirit in man. To ignore it is to ignore reality. There are spiritual disorders, too, and spiritual diseases that can cause intense suffering. The body and the spirit of man are bound together. Often, very often, when there are disorders, it is difficult to tell which is which. There are basic rules for physical health. They have to do with rest and nourishment, with exercise, and with abstaining from those things that damage the body. Those who violate these rules one day will pay for their foolishness. There are also rules of spiritual health, simple rules that cannot be ignored, for if they are, we will reap sorrow by and by. All of us experience some temporary physical sickness. All of us now again may be spiritually ill as well. Too many of us, however, are chronically spiritually sick. We don't need to stay that way. We can learn to avoid spiritual infections and maintain good spiritual health. Even though we may have a serious physical ailment, we can be spiritually healthy. If you suffer from worry or fear, from grief or shame or jealousy or disappointment or envy or greed, I have something to tell you. Somewhere near your home, there's a vacant corner lot. Although adjoining lots may be well tended, a vacant corner lot somehow is always full of weeds. There's a footpath across it and a bicycle trail, and ordinarily, it is a collecting place for junk. First, someone threw a few lawn clippings there. They would not hurt anything. Someone added a few sticks or limbs from some adjoining property. Then came a few papers and a plastic bag, and finally, tin cans and some old bottles, and there it was, a junkyard. The neighbors did not intend it to be that, but little contributions from here and there made it so. This corner lot is like, so very much like, the minds of many of us. We leave our mind vacant and empty and open to the trespass of anyone. Whatever is dumped there, we keep. We would not consciously permit anyone to dump junk into our minds, not old bottles and cans, but after long clippings and papers, the other things just don't seem to be that much worse. Our minds can become veritable junk heaps with dirty, cast-off ideas that accumulate there little by little. Years ago, I put up some signs on my mind. They're very clearly printed and simply read, "No trespassing, no dumping allowed." On occasion, it's been necessary to show them very plainly to others. I do not want anything coming into my mind that does not have some useful purpose or some value that makes it worth keeping. I have enough trouble keeping the weeds down that sprout there on their own without permitting someone else to clutter my mind with things that do not edify. I've hauled a few of these away in my lifetime. Occasionally, I've tossed these thoughts back over the fence where they came from, when it could be done in a friendly manner. I've had to evict some of these thoughts 100 times and more before they would stay out, and I have never been successful until I have put something edifying in their place. I do not want my mind to be the dumping place for shabby ideas or thoughts or disappointments or bitterness or envy or shame or hatred or worry or grief or jealousy. If you are fretting over such things, it's time to clean the yard. Get rid of all that junk. Get rid of it. Put up a no trespassing sign, a no dumping sign, and take control of yourself. Don't keep anything that will not edify you. The first thing a doctor does with a wound is to clean it out. He gets rid of all of the foreign matter and drains off the infection, no matter how much it hurts. Once you do that spiritually, you will have a different perspective on life. You'll have much less to worry about. It's easy to get all mixed up about worry. Somewhere, there's a message in the protest of the man who said, "You can't tell me worry doesn't help. The things I worry about never happen." Many years ago, I was taught a lesson by a man I admired very much. He was as saintly a man as I have ever known. He was steady and serene with a deep spiritual sense, power that many drew upon. He knew just how to administer to those who were suffering. On a number of occasions, I assisted him when he gave blessings to those who were sick or otherwise afflicted. His life had been a life of service in both the community and in the church. He'd presided over one of the missions of the church. He looked forward to the missionary reunions. When he was older, he was not able to drive at night, and I offered to take him to the reunions. This modest gesture was repaid 1,000-fold. On one occasion, when we were alone and the spirit was right, he gave me a lesson for my life from an experience in his. I thought I'd known him, but the things he told me I never would have supposed. He grew up in a little community. Somehow in his youth, he had a desire to make something of himself and struggled to get an education, succeeded. He married a lovely young woman, and presently everything in his life was just right. He was well employed with a bright future. They were deeply in love, and they were expecting their first child. The night the baby was to be born, there were complications. The only doctor was somewhere in the countryside tending the sick, and they weren't able to find him. After many hours of labor, the condition of this mother-to-be became desperate. Finally, the doctor arrived. He sensed the emergency and acted quickly and soon had things in order. The baby was born, and the crisis, it appeared, was over. Some days later, the young mother died from the very infection that the doctor had been treating at the other home that night. My friend's world was shattered. Everything was not right now, Everything was all wrong. He'd lost his wife, his sweetheart. He had no way to take care of a tiny baby and at once tend to his work. As the weeks grow on, his grief festered. That doctor should not be allowed to practice, he would say. He brought that infection to my wife. If he'd been careful, she'd be alive today. He thought of little else, and in his bitterness, he became threatening. Then one night, a knock came at his door. A little youngster said simply, "Daddy wants you to come over. He wants to talk to you." Daddy was the stake president. A grieving, heartbroken young man went to see his spiritual leader. This spiritual shepherd had been watching his flock and had something to say to him. The counsel from this wise servant was simply, "John, leave it alone. Nothing you do will bring her back. Anything you do will make it worse. John, leave it alone." My friend told me then that this had been his trial, his Gethsemane. How could he leave it alone? Right was right. A terrible wrong had been committed, and somebody must pay for it. He struggled in agony to get hold of himself. It did not happen all at once, but finally, he determined that whatever else the issues were, he should be obedient. Obedience is a powerful spiritual medicine. Obedience comes close to being a cure-all. He determined to follow the counsel of that wise spiritual leader. He would leave it alone. Then he told me, "I was an old man before I finally understood. It was not until I was an old man that I could finally see a poor country doctor, overworked, underpaid, run ragged from patient to patient, with little proper medicine, no hospital, few instruments. He struggled to save lives and succeeded for the most part. He had come in a moment of crisis when two lives hung in the balance and had acted without delay. I was an old man," he repeated, "before I finally understood. I would have ruined my life and the lives of others," he said. Many times he had thanked the Lord on his knees for a wise spiritual leader who counseled simply, "John, leave it alone." And that is my counsel to you. If you have festering sores, grudges, bitterness, disappointment, jealousy, envy, get hold of yourself. You may not be able to control things with others, but you can control things in here, inside of you. I say, therefore, John, leave it alone. Mary, leave it alone. You may need a transfusion of spiritual strength to be able to do this. Well, then ask for it. We call that prayer. Prayer is a powerful spiritual medicine. The instructions for its use are found in the scriptures. One of our sacred hymns carries this message. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? When your soul was full of sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So, when life gets dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. All of us carry excess baggage around from time to time, but the wisest ones among us don't carry it for very long. They get rid of it. Some of it you have to get rid of without really solving the problem. Some things that ought to be put in order are not put in order because you can't control them. Often, however, the things that we carry are petty, even stupid. If you're still upset after all these years because Aunt Clara didn't come to your wedding reception, why don't you grow up and forget it? If you brood constantly over some past mistake, settle it and look ahead. If the bishop didn't call you right or didn't release you right, forget it. If you resent someone for something he has done or something he failed to do, let it go. We call that forgiveness. Forgiveness is powerful spiritual medicine. The instruction for its use are found in the Scriptures. I repeat, John, leave it alone. Mary, leave it alone. Purge and cleanse and soothe your soul and your heart and your mind. It will then be as though a cloudy, dirty film has been erased from the world around you. And though the problem may remain, the sun will come out, the beam will have been lifted from your eyes, and there will come a peace that surpasseth understanding. A great, significant message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is exemplified by the title given him, the Prince of Peace. If we follow him, we can have that, individually and collectively. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you, my brother or my sister, are troubled, there is at hand, not just in Gilead, a soothing, healing balm. Consider this: if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. I bear witness of him who is the great comforter, and as one authorized to bear that witness, testify that he lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.